For this hour, it's a glorious hour. It's the hour of our victory, the victory that no man can give to us but only you, our Lord and our God. We bask in that victory and we glory in the miracle you have done. My Lord and my God, as we bring ourselves under the authority of your word tonight, a new realization will come into our hearts of the extent and the greatness of that victory in Jesus' name. No longer shall we ever live below that which you have already purchased for us in the mighty name of Jesus. We are true sons in the kingdom. We will no longer live like slaves in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. We cannot have a day like this without talking about what Jesus has done. So, I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke 22. We are going to read from verse 14 to 20. Luke 22, 14 to 20. I read. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Can somebody say desire? Desire. For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament. Somebody say New Testament. New Testament. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I want to share with you tonight the message, the New Testament. I want to share the New Testament with you. That's the title of the message, the New Testament. Of course, the reason we have a New Testament is because we have an Old Testament of man. It's the story of an epic fall. It's the story of unprecedented fall. Put them in a place of dominion. And of course, we know how it all went. A council that was not the... Because when you look at the story, the Bible said, that the fruit at the center of the controversy was of the tree of knowledge. And what man did was to decide to feed him different from the knowledge of God. And I'm praying for us that at this time, we have come to a point where we no longer feed ourselves from any other tree of knowledge that is different from the knowledge of God. As soon as man started feeding from the tree of knowledge, aside from the knowledge of God, there was a break in relationship. Because of the break in fellowship with God, man started living a life of trial and error. If you really look at what happened in the Old Testament, you will see it was a story of rising and falling. That the children of Israel will work their way back to God. They will cry to Him. He will accept them. He will deliver them from their enemies. He will make provisions for them. And after no long a time, they go back to their old ways. They will come back again, pleading unto God, and God in His eternal mercy will have mercy on them. He will restore them. And it was a what somebody would call circulus vitiosus, a vicious circle. That was the story of man. It was the story of struggle. That was the story of the Old Testament. It was the story of man not being able to dwell, of God not being able to dwell with man. It was the story of separation. From fellowship with God. But Jesus came. And as He said in verse 15, He said to them, He said, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." There was a desire in Jesus to bring about restoration. Because if the Old Testament had been perfect, the Bible says in Hebrews, there would be no need for a New Testament. If the Old Covenant were to be perfect, if the Old Covenant had achieved what it was set out to achieve, there would be no need for a New Covenant. So Jesus said He had a desire. And the desire was to reconcile man back to God. And so He said, despite all the struggle, despite all the difficulties, He said He was looking forward to that day, and the day came. Despite the difficulties that you and I may be going through in our Christian journeys, despite all the things we struggle against, are we looking forward to the coming of the Lord? Are we looking forward to see His kingdom come wherever we are? Jesus had one desire. He had one mission. He had one vision. It was to see the day of the accomplishment of the reconciliation of man back to God. That is the beginning of the story of you and I. The two people who came out to give testimony concerning their salvation, there was something that was common to the story, and I believe is something that is common to every story of salvation. You were following a particular path. You met with Jesus, and the course and the destiny of your life changed forever. And each one said, things have never been the same again. It's all because Jesus came. He made the desire of God his own desire. Because the Bible says that God does not want the death of sinners, but that they may come to repentance. And somebody gave a very simple definition of holiness. He said, holiness is being of one mind with God. Did you hear that? Holiness is being of one mind with God. Was Jesus holy? He was holy. Why? Because he desired what God desired. To see the salvation of man. To see to the salvation of man. Do you desire what God desires? That's the New Testament. To see the counsel of God come to pass in the life of the people of God. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 18, verse 37. John 18, 37. It was not a happenstance for Jesus. It was the desire of Jesus to see the kingdom of God come in your life and in my life. John 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Listen to this. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. But what I want you to take note there is what Jesus said. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Jesus knew his mission. He had a vision for that mission. And he knew he had to accomplish it. Do you know your mission? Do you know why you are saved? Do you know why Jesus died for you? Are you conscious of why Jesus came? Are you conscious of why he gave his life for you? He said, for this cause, or to this end, was I born. Do you know why you were born? Jesus could define why he was born. He came to a point in his life and he recognized it. He said, for this purpose, that was the reason I was born. I was born for this hour. He said, everything I've ever done in my life was meant to culminate in this particular moment. He said, for this cause, for this purpose, to this end was I born. Have you ever asked yourself, for what purpose were you born? Every time you make merry, every time things are falling onto you in pleasant places, have you ever asked yourself, why was I born? The day you are able to answer that question, that is the day you begin to find fulfillment in your life. The day that you can look yourself in the face and say to yourself, this is the reason why I was born. That is the day you are going to find clarity in every way of your life. And I'm telling you, every other thing may be going wrong round about you. But once you identify the reason why you were born, the reason why God has called you, the reason why Jesus has saved you, the day you apprehend and you take hold of it and you know why Jesus has saved you, that day nothing else will ever move you again. There was Jesus. He was facing the threat of death. And he said to Pilate, you know, I could ask them to crucify you. I can kill you. I can decide that you will stay alive. And Jesus said, let me tell you what. To this end was I born. To this end was I born. You know the implication of this is that when you know the reason why you were born, it doesn't matter what man may want to do to you, you just know why you are here. And I'm telling you, you will accomplish your purpose in Jesus' name. He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. God wanted a covenant written on blood. Remember, it cost him something. It's not for free. The covenant prior to then was written on plates of stone, on tablets of stone. God wanted a covenant written in blood, because that was all that would suffice. Why is it that covenant had to be written in blood? I asked God. And this is what God told me. He said, because the life of the animal is where? Is in its blood. Because in Deuteronomy, the Bible says the life of the animal is what? Is where? Is in its blood. A life that is written, a covenant written in life, because blood is life, endures till eternity. It's not subject to change. Because the soul of man will live forever. It had to be written on the plate of the blood of Jesus. That is the new covenant. The previous covenant has no life of its own. But the new covenant is written in blood. And of course, so the word of God, interpreted from the point of view of the finished work, is life. Every time, whether you are reading from the Old Testament or the New Testament, when you are interpreting the word of God from the point of view of the finished work on the cross of Calvary, that is life. No wonder the Bible says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. We can read the Bible, and it will be letter. We can read the Bible, and it becomes spirit. Once it is read from the point of view of the finished work on the cross of Calvary, it becomes life. It is the life of Jesus in the Word that gives it life. John 4:22-24. He said, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is the life of Jesus in the world that gives it life. I will just make a statement here. As you know, the Bible says God is a spirit. And we know likewise, we are spirit beings. You know, a lot of times people say you have spirit. You don't have spirit, you are a spirit. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you are a spirit being. You are a spirit being. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. So, just like God, we are spirit being. Now, I just want to make one point before we go into prayer. I'm telling you that it's Jesus in the Word that transforms the world. And I just told you that you are a spirit being. Now, I just want to make one statement that it is not a transformation that changes your life. It is not something that changes. It's not something that happens that changes your life. But I will tell you what changes your life. An awareness of who you are in Jesus is what changes your life. In other words, we are talking about knowledge. An awareness of what Jesus has done is what will change your life forever. We can talk about Jesus, how much he has suffered, until we become aware. And I want to quickly share with you what God has been talking to me about. The reason why it may be difficult for us to prosper as children of God. When I'm talking about prosperity now, I'm not talking about material prosperity. I'm talking about spiritual prosperity in the Lord, for us to be operating at the level at which God wants us to be operating. I want you to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, we are going to take a look at one or two passages in Hebrews. Hebrews 5, I'm going to read verses 13 and 17. I'm not going to explain much, so I can make that point. Because remember, the word I want you to hold on to is awareness or knowledge. It's your awareness that is going to, you know, that's going to change your life forever. It's your awareness of who you are in Jesus Christ. It's the knowledge of who you are in Him. Hebrews 5, 13 and 17. He says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He said, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, because he is a babe. In other words, until you get deep into the knowledge of God for your life, we will remain like children. And the Bible makes us to understand one thing, that as long as we are children, we are like what? We are like servants, because we still need instruction. Only adult children get to execute the will of their father. You will execute the will of your father in Jesus' name. We will no longer be like babes. Just the verse 13. Now, I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 4. This is where we are going. Why we need the knowledge. Why we need the awareness to be who God wants us to be. And I will read from the Amplified Version before we start praying. He said, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today. When is it offered? Today. That same promise of entering into God's rest is still being offered today. Let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. Verse 2, which is where I want us to take note. For indeed, we have heard the glad tidings, gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they had did not benefit them, because it was not mixed with faith, with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. By those who had it, neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who had and did believe. Praise the Lord. We have to come to a unity of faith, but that is not the point I actually want to make. He said, these people did not profit from it. It did not benefit them, because it was not met with faith. That is, they did not lean on God completely. They did not put their trust in Him completely. And the big question is, how do you put your trust in God completely? Because when I look at our Christian lives, I discovered that there's a major reason why we have not reached our goals, or we are not reaching our goals. And this is what God told me. He said, Christians of today no longer personalize the word. When the word is read like this, every child of God here begins to think it's for everyone. Until the day you start to take it that it is just is you. Every one of us begin to hold on to the word that it is me, that the Bible is talking about. The responsibility is for me. I remember in the house fellowship, God was speaking to Isaiah. He said, who shall I send? Isaiah said, send me. Send me. Isaiah did not point to the next brother and say, send brother so and so. Send sister so and so. Send evangelist so and so. Send pastor so and so. Send this person. Send that person. He said, here I am. Send me. Until we begin to personalize the word of God and realize that God is talking to us. That this message that you are hearing is for you, not for the next person. It's for you, not for the next person. When God says, I'm going to deliver you, he says, you, not the next person. He says, I'm going to heal you. He says, you, and not the next person. When he says, I'm going to raise you up, he says, you, and not the next person. Until we begin to personalize that word, and we know that it's genuinely our own inheritance, the word cannot work for us. It's the New Testament that Jesus has purchased. Until we begin to personalize it and say, look, it's me. The Bible is talking about me. This promise is for me. That we lean on the word. We lean on the word without any urge to apologize, even if other people choose not to follow it. Because our belief becomes of faith only when it is not a popular belief. Let me tell you something. If everyone in the world have a certain belief, is it faith? It's no longer faith. If it's popular. If everyone around you say, oh yes, we all know this. You know where anytime you throw something up, it comes down. Is that faith? Law of gravity, we all know it. It's no longer faith. It's the uniqueness of that your relationship with God to say, I can call on God and I know that my God can do this. That is faith. It is when you have 400 prophets of Baal and you can stand in the midst of them and you say, I'm going to call the fire of God to come down. That is faith. It is when you are in the place of contradiction and you say, I can call on my God and he'll make a difference. That is faith. When it becomes a popular belief, it's no longer faith. Of course, faith is non-conventional. If it is conventional, then it's no longer of faith. The new covenant, remember, is in blood and is alive. And it's alive. And the Bible says it's still being offered today. It is still being offered today. That rest in Jesus is being offered this very moment. And that becomes your portion in Jesus' name. I think I will just leave it here. Just for us to know that a new covenant is being offered today and you can choose to personalize it. Let me tell you something. The level at which God wants to be dealing with some of us is not the level at which we are operating, including me. Until you personalize it and say, yes, come rain, come sunshine, come death, come whatever, I will stand. Jesus said, for this cause I was born. For this particular moment, don't bother to save me. My life is not in your hand. That's what he was saying. He said, for this purpose, don't bother yourself. For this purpose I was born. The day we realize why we were born, our problem will be solved. And I want to tell you, I've shared this with you, for everyone that is saved, there is also a calling. That's the purpose of God for your life. My prayer for you is that you begin to live according to that purpose in Jesus' name. Remember that tonight's service is an impartation service. Jesus did not transfer power that night without him fellowshipping with the children of with his disciples. They shared the Holy Communion. By the grace of God, tonight we are going to share of the Holy Communion together. And we are going to pray. If you are in the house, before we pray, please, before we even share the Holy Communion, if you are in the house, you have not given your life to Christ, I want you to give your life to Christ tonight. Or you've given your life to him, you've fallen away, tonight is the night of restoration. It's the night of reconciliation. Reconcile with God tonight. And as you partake of the Holy Communion, I'm going to call a group of people. We are going to start with people who have never received the gift of the Holy Spirit by way of speaking in tongues. We are going to start with them. We are going to pray for other gifts in the body of Christ. It's a night of impartation. And I want to tell you, from tonight, you begin to operate in those gifts in Jesus' name. So please, can we just rise on our feet? Please, if you are breastfeeding or in that way, and maybe you are not strong enough to stand anymore, you can be seated. But those of us who are still very young, if you are young like me, let's be on our feet. Please, can we have the elements, please? We are going to share. Of this together. Okay. So, church, can you just stretch forth your hands towards these elements? In faith. In faith. And I want you to picture, as you close your eyes, I want you to picture in your mind Jesus sitting with the disciples on that day. It was like a round table, and the Lord of hosts was in their midst. The King of glory sat in the midst of the disciples. And he told them, "This is a moment I've desired all my life, to eat this Passover with you." As you connect your faith with mine, pointing to this element, imagining the King of glory in our midst tonight, I want you to pray to the Lord and say, "Father, as I eat of your flesh and I drink of your blood, let it profit me from tonight in Jesus' name. Let it profit me. Lord, let this profit me. Let it profit me." Begin to pray to the Lord. The way you want your life to be spiritually in the Lord, begin to speak to him. Just imagine Jesus right in the midst of us tonight as we share with him this bread and the wine. Just look into his eyes. Make your request known unto him. The kind of fellowship you want to have with him. The kind of relationship you want to have with Jesus. I want you to begin to speak to the Almighty God and tell him the kind of relationship that you want to foster with him by reason of sharing his table with him, by reason of eating with him, by reason of drinking with him tonight. Begin to speak to the Lord. And thank you, Jesus, for the power of your glory. the miraculous power of your presence that transforms this bread, O Lord, into your flesh, and the wine into your blood. And as your people eat, O Lord, they become one with you. There is no longer separation between them and you anymore. We live a life that looks forward. We live a life that looks forward to the day of your glory. The life that looks forward to the day of your appearance once again. My Father, my God, everyone that will partake of this tonight, Lord, will never suffer loss for their souls anymore in Jesus' name. We are not going to crucify you anymore in Jesus' name. In the way we live, in the things we plan, in the things we do, my Father, my God, we become of one mind with you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. So please, can you just pass? As usual, when you take the bread, you can eat it, but the wine, keep it. Keep the wine, please. Keep the wine. Just keep the wine, because we are going to drink in unison. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." We are doing it in remembrance of him. That's why it's so important that we do it tonight. That night that consummated the plan of salvation, that very night, we remember it today, the night of your victory, because Jesus became victorious, the night of your favor, the night of the grace of God upon your life, the night of your salvation, the night that you became one with God, the night of your adoption. Please eat the bread. Eat the bread. Eat the bread. Do we all have the elements? Okay. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Let's drink in unison, and we'll pray to the Lord. Begin to speak to the Lord God Almighty. Begin to pray to the Lord. Make your request known. Make your request known unto the Lord God Almighty. Make your request known. Oh yes, make your request known. Please, I want all of us to close our eyes. Make your request known. Everyone, close your eyes. You are in the house tonight. You are in the house tonight. You have never really given your life to Christ. Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here right now. He's here to meet your needs and to set the captives free. Oh, Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here. Jesus is here right now. Galebo shikaro basanda. Jesus is here right now. He's here to meet your needs and to set the captives free. Oh, Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here. Don't let this night pass you by. Come right now. It's no joking matter. It's a very serious matter. You must know the purpose for which you are created. You must know the purpose for which you have been called. Come right now. He's here to meet your needs and to set the captives free. Oh, Jesus is here right now. Can you just lift up your hands, everyone? Let's lift up your hands. Lift up your two hands, everyone. Lift up your hands. Jesus is here. Just take that song. Jesus is here right now. He's here to meet your needs and to set the captives free. Oh, Jesus is here right now. I want you to speak to the Lord right now. Any area of your life that you want Him to set you free, any area of your life that you want Him to make a mark on you, any area of your life that you want Him to make a difference, why don't you speak to the Lord? Lift up your hand to the Almighty God. Jesus, you meet your needs and to set the captives free. Oh, Jesus is here right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you are here. You said it's finished. Because you have finished all the work. You said it's finished. Because everything had been accomplished. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. All has been accomplished. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for the manifestation of your glory. We thank you for lives that will never be the same again. We thank you for movement from darkness to light. We thank you for impossibilities that you have made possible in the life of your people. We thank you, oh Lord, because you are sharing that kingdom with many sons and many daughters from tonight. Lord, we give you praise. Father, we give you glory. That blood that Jesus shed is not a waste on any life here. Thank you, Father. We will forever live a life that will please you. Lord, as we have eaten with you tonight, on that day we are going to eat with you in Jesus' name. You told Pilate, you said, for this particular reason you were born. In case it is not clear to anyone why they were born, in case it is not clear to anyone why they were saved, Father, let there be a clarity tonight. In dreams, show your people. In visions, show your people. In words, show your people. In ministration, show your people, O Lord. In Jesus' name. There are no mere men amongst you. And there is no mere woman amongst you. In the mighty name of Jesus. You do exploits in the household of God, and your works will rise as a memorial, even in heaven, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Can we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and our sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we